This is the Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ. My name is Tim Durkin, and usually the show is done in the view of the studio, but today, outside in Mother Nature with coffee and some cake. And one of the things that the talk show allows us to do is to jump into people's stories, but also to learn about people that are going against the grain. And I mean that culturally. So many times, if you were listening today and you're 50 or 60 or 70, you would see religious sisters out and about in a community. I mean, if you were in Belleville, maybe you went to Nicholson, you would see them right across the road, perhaps teaching you. My grade one teacher, Sister Eleanor Daly, was a religious sister and an educator. And today, we're in conversation with somebody I've known for many, many years, all the way back to my time at high school at St. Teresa. Her name now is Sister Beata Victoria, and we're going to find out about that name and how it all works. But let's go back to the original name, which is Marlena Leeds Loheed. Thanks for doing this on the Lauren Brooker Show.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Tim.
And it's interesting because for a lot of people, they'll have nerves about talking on the radio. But for you, your whole career, secular career, was in communications. Tell us a little bit about the backstory and how you got involved in what was your first career choice or getting involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was born and raised in Belleville, and I went to Holy Rosary Elementary School and Centennial Secondary School. I was in the arts program at Centennial, graduated in 2005, and really always had a love for media. So I went and studied communications at the University of Ottawa, and then I got my journalism degree at King's College in Halifax. It's an affiliate school of Dalhousie. And had a really great opportunity to sort of combine my love for media with my faith. And I worked for 5 years for the Archdiocese of Toronto in their public relations and communications office. So really helping tell the story of the church in Toronto to various media. And that was a great gift for me.
When you're in high school, you had talked to the guidance counselor. There's certainly a number of people that will give you suggestions on what you might want to do with a career. For yourself, can you explain to me what your formation for a belief in religion was? Who was it? Somebody? Was it a feeling you had? Was it text and documents and reading? Tell us about that background.
Yeah, I was raised in a Catholic family, have a very faithful mother. The prayers of mothers are very powerful, but I think it was really in high school I started to get involved in the youth group at St. Michael's Parish in Belleville, and had opportunities to kind of go to different conferences and really meet other young people who are living their faith, people who are normal and attractive. And there's something about that, I think, for a young person that makes living faith attractive. Okay, I want what those people have, you know? And then it was really in university, when I was at the University of Ottawa, that I encountered a university student movement called Catholic Christian Outreach, or CCO. And came to really know Jesus personally, I think, in those years. Learned how to pray, really knew that I was loved by God and that he had a good plan for my life. And so, I spent a lot of my 20s pursuing that plan, right? Like, what is it that God wants for me? And it was really in my later 20s when I had the courage to sort of change the questions on my heart from what am I being called to do? Thinking more pragmatically to actually how am I being called to love? You know, knowing that I had a big gift of love in my heart to give and just wanting to know where it was that God was calling me to give a gift of my love, which of course, you know, happened through my work, but I knew that it had to be something more than that as well.
When you're going through life, there's the ups and downs and changes and adjustments. Was there a moment where you say, although there's probably thousands of steps along the way, was there one interaction that you had or one moment that was the most pivotal in the decision you made to join religious life?
Right. That would have been really convenient if there was like a, you know, like a fireworks moment or the plane that went by with a banner that said things really clearly. But it's, discernment of a religious vocation is such a mystery. And like you said, you know, it happens through a lot of small moments. And for me, I guess one moment that was significant for me was I was working for the Archdiocese of Toronto, and I was doing some video interviews with different religious who were serving in our diocese to kind of feature their stories. And I got sent to interview a Sister of Life who was serving in the Archdiocese of Toronto at the time. And I realized as I was talking to her, oh, wow, she's the same age as me, you know, which was, it was unique to see young sisters. I was in my 20s at the time. And yeah, and I was listening to her story. And as I was editing it, I was listening to her story over and over and over again. And I experienced her joy, and I saw the way that she loved God and the way that she loved others. And it was totally new to me, but it was like it already felt familiar. And that's a moment for me that really opened my heart to asking that question that I mentioned, like, how am I being called to love, right? And so I wouldn't say that that's a moment necessarily that I knew, because I think for me, that was a moment that was very frightening, where it was like, oh my gosh, am I, people like me don't become nuns, like I'm normal. I was doing triathlons, I was doing a lot of hiking and camping and just, yeah, working, you know, had great friends, lived in downtown Toronto, had a great life. So initially it was kind of a scary prospect to like, is God calling me to give up all these good things that I've worked so hard for? But I saw these sisters, I saw how joyful they were. I saw the love that they had in their hearts. And so I knew, wow, like they've given up a lot, but it seems like they've received a lot too. Right. And, yeah. And so I think in time, as I, that just opened my heart to like discerning more intentionally. And then I had a priest who I would meet with every month, a spiritual director who kind of, yeah, helped with that discernment along the way. So that I could sort of talk through these things. And then he would, you know, share with me like, okay, this is something maybe you want to pray about. You can ask God about that. And then over time, just seeing, you know, as I visited the sisters and discerned with them more intentionally with the vocations office, that it was like, wow, yeah, this is where I feel at home. This is, it has to be an invitation, right? Sometimes people are like, oh, I'd love to be a nun. Your life seems very, you know, like you're given for others and yeah, you're living a good balanced life. But it's really not about that as much as it is responding to an invitation that's given first by God, right? And yeah, kind of a wild invitation that at first seems very crazy.
We're in conversation today with Sister Beata Victoria, which I know now about 10 words of Latin means blessed victory. Her birth name, Marlena Lougheed, who's from Belleville and now is in New York, about to be studying further in Ohio. I forget sometimes how observant people are, and I think about my daughter, where I'll say, you know, sweetheart, you've had enough to eat, you don't need more chips, and then the next day I have chips, and she'll say, what happened to us not having chips? And she's 5-6 years old, so she sees hypocrisy pretty quickly, and I think human beings are pretty quick to notice things. When you're in any kind of important position as far as somebody within a religious life, you kind of have to walk the walk before, you know, people will kind of take it. Did you see that with that sister in Toronto?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think, yeah, it's worth saying, you know, we wear the traditional religious habit. So we're very visible when we're out and about. But I think, yeah, what I saw in the sisters that I met in Toronto through my work, was just a very deep living of relationship with God. That was, yeah, there was something about that was very compelling to my heart, right? That they were living in a way that was very authentic. And I love being authentic. And that was something I think for me that was like, okay, these people are not, they're not making this up. You can't make up joy, right? Yeah. And the founder of our religious order, who was, his name is John Cardinal O'Connor. He was the Archbishop of New York in the 90s. And he would always say, you know, there can be no Sisters of Life without joy. And so that's a big hallmark of our life as sisters, that we, yeah, kind of are a visible representation of the goodness of life. And you see that in joy, and you can't really make that up. So I think I definitely saw that in the sisters that I met.
We're learning here a little bit more about the religious life. We're talking to Sister Beata Victoria. The Lauren Brooker Show continues on CJ.